So if you would, turn with me to Luke 23. Luke 23. Luke 23, verses 1 through 25 is what I want to read. Luke chapter 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ a king. And Pilate asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, Thou sayest it. Then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. And they were the more fierce, saying, He stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Jewry, beginning from Galilee to this place. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged into Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. Then he questioned with him in many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priest and scribes stood and vehemently accused him. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him, and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe and sent him again to Pilate. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity between themselves. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired. But he delivered Jesus to their will. We read in verse 25 of Luke 23 there that Pilate delivered Jesus Christ to their will. A murderer was released to go free, while one who Pilate said was just was delivered to the will of the people to have this innocent one murdered. Pilate, who said he was innocent, had Jesus Christ scourged. And I like what Robert Hawker says about this. Quote, He declared Jesus guiltless and yet proposed by way of a milder punishment to scourge him. He pronounced sentence of death upon Christ in the same breath that he declared him innocent. End quote. He had an innocent man scourged and thought he was washing his hands of clean of his death. But he delivered him to be murdered. We often say things like, I would have done the same thing had I been there. And I've said it before. But I really don't know, and it's really useless to say. because God did not have me there. There were some there who did not actively participate in this directly. But we in our hearts, we, for what and who we are, have sent Jesus Christ to the cross.
Yes, sir.
As I've told you before, and I've said before, and I'm not saying that everyone has said this. Some men and women may have not said this specifically in their mind or out loud. Some have, though. I believe that all of God's people at one time have had this kind of thought in their head. But I said, if that is who God is, I don't want a God like that. I will not have this man reign over me. I will decide whether I serve God or not. I will be my own king. I robbed God of his glory. I murdered the Lord of glory in my mind. In this flesh, I still do that, even if it's only in thought from time to time, as some thoughts go through my head. It is our will by nature to murder the Lord of glory.
Yes, sir.
We are the Barabbases. We are guilty of murder. So let's talk a little bit about man's will and the will of God. Man's will. We hear it all the time today. And this by this world's religion, as well as those who are not really religious at all. But this world touts man's free will. They say, just as I thought at one time, I will choose to serve God when and if I want to. I will come to God of my own free will. Free will does not exist. Man has a will, but it is not free. God is spirit, and if you worship God, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. The scripture is quite plain. But as Joe has said before, this world will not let Scripture get in the way of their doctrine. The Scripture is our guide. It is what God has given us to know what the will of God is. Those whom God has made spiritual, hears what it says. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And let's turn and read that. 1 Corinthians 2. I'm going to read quite a few passages today, since we have a little extra time. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 7 through 16. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Amen.
But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, and that is the knowledge of Christ. The scripture is clear. Until God moves on an individual, they will in no way hear and understand what God says to them in his word.
Amen.
If he never moves toward them in grace, they will never know what his word says. Christ tells us the following two things, John 5:40, "And ye will not come to me that you might have life."
Amen.
You have no will to come to Christ, no matter how free you might think it is, no matter how many times you say it, no matter how much you put it out in front of people to see, no matter how many people say it. God does not say it. He says, you will not come. If God says it, then it's true.
Yes.
But our Lord also says this in John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Amen.
So not only do we not have a will to come, we do not have the ability to come. Jesus Christ here says, no man can. If God says it, and Jesus Christ is God, but if Christ says it, then it's true.
Amen.
But yet this world continues to insist on man having a free will. If you do have a free will, it is worthless. Because it is not free to come to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ says so. They manifest it all the time, though. They say things like, has been mentioned before, God has done all he can do, and now it's up to you. If that is true, then we will all perish. Because we will not come to him that we might have life, and we cannot come to him that we might have life. There's only one way that we can. If the Father which sent Jesus Christ draws you, if he does the drawing, then you will come. And you can come. Because we also read in Scripture that he works in us both the will and do of his good pleasure. We have this wicked, evil, deceitful heart, which will in no way step one foot towards God, because it hates God. We, as we are born with hate in our hearts against God. We will be as those there at the hall of Pilate. We will say it in our heart. We'll say this. This is when they brought Christ to Pilate and he asked them what he had done. After this, this was their answer in John 18:30. They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. They basically said, why are you questioning us? We would not have brought him to you if he were not a depraved evildoer. That's what we say who Christ is in this old Adamic heart. We call Christ a depraved evildoer. This is what we think of the Lord of glory in our wicked hearts. This is what comes out of the heart of man. This is the will of man as we are born in Adam, given by the Lord of glory himself. None of us are immune to this. None of us are clear of this. All of us are guilty of this. Hear it. Mark 7, starting in verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So we are defiled. Our will is defiled because it is the heart that makes us willing. If this is what comes out of our heart, then all we are willing to do are these things. We must have a new heart, and we cannot will to have a heart like this, because we are defiled by our own heart.
Yes, sir.
These evil things come from our heart, and the heart will deceive us into thinking he has done all he can do, and now it's up to us. Our heart thinks upon doing something. When we are told by God himself that we cannot do anything good, we are the Barabbases. We are guilty before God and we are held captive. But there is another will that the Scriptures speak of, speaks of. So next, the will of God. Turn with me to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Matthew 21 and beginning in verse 33. Matthew 21, 33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit grew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto these husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. The sovereign God has sent his son. And he expects his son to be reverenced. That is, that all should have a fearful reverence of him. When his son was sent, he was slew of wicked men. And we were just reading the account of where that started to take place. It is the will of the Father that we reverence the Son. If you are one who falls on the Son at his feet in reverential fear, you will be broken. How sweet the sound of that. Those who fall on the Son and are broken will be healed, because Jesus Christ heals the brokenhearted. But those who have this stone, this cornerstone, this rock of offense fall on them will be ground to powder. This is the will of God. You bow to the Son, or you will be bowed to the Son, but then it will be too late. But as we've already said, it is God that draws those whom he loves to himself. God did not die for everybody. God died for the Barabbases of this world. Too many people think too highly of themselves and think very little of the Son. They think he could not do it all and he has to have help from them. They will be ground to powder if they are not bowed down by God to his precious Son. Now you must bow to the Son. You may not know that God chose a people, but as Walter said before, you will bow to the God that chose, or you will perish.
Amen.
But the Scripture is plain that God by his own will chose a people. And this choosing was not a choosing based on what they would do, but rather on what the Son would do. And if you would, turn with me to Ephesians 1, and I want to read a few verses I want to just look at in that passage. And first, in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God.
Amen.
To the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. As Joe has already pointed out this morning, we are what we are by the will of God.
Amen.
Verse 4 and 5. according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Amen.
So we are chosen in Christ based on his will.
Amen.
Not man's will. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. So it is his will that the mystery is made known to us. Has nothing to do with our will. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. So we are predestinated to be made like unto Christ by his will.
Amen.
Where in this passage do we see anything about the will of man or the doing of man? Nowhere. Nothing.
Right.
Because our will is defiled, and it can and will not do anything good, because we have a dead heart that is defilement to the core. But God in Jesus Christ, before the world began, willed to come into this world and die for his people's sin. He did not die for everyone's sin, else everyone would be saved. Because he accomplished what he came to do, Galatians 1, 3, and 4. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, not according to man's will, but what? According to the will of God and our Father. So what happened with Pilate was men manifesting what their will is. The will of man is not free at all, but it is subservient to sin. Man is in bondage to sin, and he can do nothing to get out of that state. But because of Jesus Christ and what God ordained and willed to do, he brought to pass salvation for his people, so much so that they now have life in Christ Jesus. But the will of God does not stop there. In fact, the will of God does not stop at all. All things are carried out based on his will. If God does not want something to happen, it will not happen. Someone might say, you mean all bad things that happen are the will of God? Do you think that fallen sinful men crucifying the Lord of glory is a bad thing? Murdering God, the one and only one who anyone can truly say he is an innocent man, is that not bad? It certainly is. Men intend evil. God intends good for his people. So what more can we say for some who were at one time, just like everyone else, with this evil, wicked heart, which is about satisfying this flesh? There is something else which is the will of God that does happen for some. I cannot tell you who these are. I have good reason to believe that he has done it for those of us here who profess the sovereign God and bow down to his will. But I cannot say for sure. I have doubts about myself at times. But there's one thing I do not doubt. I know by the grace of God that Jesus Christ saved some people. Those people are sinners, and he has also willed that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Even those who are his cannot trust in what they think of themselves and what they will do. We read in Matthew 26, 33 through 35, and you all know this. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Again, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Peter had no strength of his own to not deny our Lord. God willed that he deny our Lord, and he did. What Peter did was not a good thing, but God intended it for good. It brought Peter closer to his Lord and to our Lord. After Peter had done this thing, he went out and wept bitterly, the Scripture says. It is not a light thing when one of his denies the Lord. It will cause you to weep, if not outwardly, at least inwardly. It says he wept bitterly or violently. It broke his heart that he had done this thing. You will come to that place where you know it is all of his will and his power. But those who know God do not know him on their own. It takes the power of God to believe him. It takes the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead to raise you and I to life in Christ Jesus. Luke 10:22, we read, "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." You can walk as many aisles as you want, but you will not know God by coming down an aisle. But if God is willing to give you life and reveal himself to you, no one can keep you from getting to Christ, even if you're coming down an aisle. But the one to whom he reveals will come knowing who they are coming to, and by the will of God will come to him, as we've already read. John 1, verses 11, 12, and 13, we read, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power," or the right, "to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So those that receive him are those who believe on his name. They believe he accomplished what he came to do. Those who do this already have life because of what it says next in verse 13, "which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." The word "were" there is something that has already happened.
Yes.
But as it is used here, it is something that continues on. Those who believe were born. They were not born into it by this flesh. And the will of man and this flesh had nothing to do with this conception and birth. But it all happened based on the will of God and how he said it would happen. Those who believe all come to this place the same way. It is all of God's will. If you think in any way you have the ability and the will to come to God on your own, you do not know God, because you believe not the Lord of glory. You want your own way? God, throughout all of Scripture, tells us that man is always evil, continually. So the truth is that no man can come to the Father but by Jesus Christ. If the Christ you serve did all he can do and left something up for you to do, then you will die in your sins, because you have no power of your own to come to him. It is only by his will, power, and might that you can do anything at all. He told those Jews who lied and said that they were not in bondage to any man. You know the passage, and I'm going to read verse 44 of John 8. And Christ told them, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So if you speak of your will being in control of anything other than sinning against the holy God of Scripture, then you abide not in the truth. You lie on God, and you are a murderer. Because it is given of Jesus Christ to give life to those he has been given of the Father. Peter found out, just like Paul did in Romans 7:18. He found out, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." This flesh can do nothing toward God that might please him, because it is incapable of doing so. but because of what God wills to take His people through, they begin to see the source of their life and the source of their doing toward God. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. He is the one that came into this world and was murdered of wicked men. That's you and I. My sin put Him on the cross, and my sin is a capital offense against God. My sin murdered the Lord of glory. But it was the only thing that could set His prisoners free. Turn with me to Matthew 27. This is the last place I'll have you to turn, Matthew 27. Matthew 27, I might have already been there. Matthew 27 and verses 14. Matthew 27, verse 14. And He answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas, or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The evil that I have done is evident. I am a prisoner who has been caught red-handed, as they say. It is me that is next in line to be crucified with all the other murderers. I am a Barabbas. I'm guilty. The next steps I hear, I know it is sure that the executioner is going to come and get me and send me to that mount to be slain. But to some Barabbases, the footsteps they hear are his footsteps, coming to them to set them free. He has taken their place. He has taken my place. He has taken your place if he died for you. Are you a Barabbas? Are you guilty before this sovereign God? Do you serve your will, or do you want his will? Do you want it to be his will to have mercy upon your soul? Don't leave me to my will, O God. May it be your will to show me mercy in Jesus Christ. I am Barabbas, already found guilty, waiting for justice to be served. May it be your will that you send Jesus Christ to take my place. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank you for allowing us to be here, dear Lord. Be with those who of us that are they're out, dear Lord. With you, take care of them with only the things that only you know how to, dear Lord. You know their needs, dear Lord. But we do want healing for those people, dear Lord. Be with Walker as he's traveling, and conduct him safe back to us, dear Lord. Be with all those who are out preaching the gospel today, and and trying to support and hear the gospel today. That we'll bless them. All these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.